This episode of the Shakeout Podcast is brought to you by Altitude Sports. If you're like me, then this time of year means training hard for your fall racing calendar. Whether you're looking for that go-to race day kit or clothing, shoes, and accessories ready to work as hard as you do in training, Altitude Sports has what you need to perform at your best, with a huge selection of running essentials from top brands like Hoka, Salomon, New Balance, and many more. Shopping is super convenient since it's all online, with fast next-day delivery anywhere in Canada, and same-day delivery if you're in Montreal. And if something doesn't fit quite right, no worries. Returns are easy and hassle-free. No printer needed, just scan the QR code they send you. So if you want to feel comfortable and confident in gear that works as hard as you do, be sure to check out Altitude Sports. Just use the promo code SHAKEOUT to get up to 20% off your first order. Conditions apply. You'll find all the details and the link in the description below. Hello and welcome back to the Shakeout Podcast for part two of our series on gender equity in road racing. In part one, I had the opportunity of speaking with Dr. Sasha Gaulish about some of the exciting initiatives making sport more accessible for women and girls. If you tuned in, you know that the audio quality of that episode was not up to our usual standards. For that, I apologize to you, our listener, as well as to Sasha, for the poor sound and if it took away at all from the important message at the heart of the episode. We're grateful for the feedback from our listeners that help us bring you the very best version of the Shakeout Podcast every week. And we look forward to having Sasha join us on the show again soon.
So last year, again, like other things that were coming up, was just that sense of community and having that support and understanding, you know, how do I even get to the start line of a half marathon or a marathon, right? So again, some things that we could help with where everyone in that group could really build each other up and support them along their journey. And so last year we had 499 people that signed up for the program, and we're almost at 2,200 right now. So quite incredible, over four times the amount of women that have signed up this year for the program.
While marathon participation is booming globally, one surprising trend persists. Fewer women are showing up at the starting line. Under the leadership of race director Charlotte Brooks, the Toronto Waterfront Marathon is tackling this disparity head-on, with programming to make marathoning more inclusive and sustainable for women, especially those juggling work, family, and personal goals. This week on the show, we welcome Charlotte to talk about the pioneering work of her and her team at TCS Toronto Waterfront, including their flagship 16-week free marathon training plans for all female participants at this year's marathon and half marathon events. Charlotte shares about the causes of the male-female divide in race participation and offers her expertise on what can be done to make marathoning a sustainable and integral part of more women's lives. Charlotte, welcome to the Shakeout Podcast. So great to have you with us today.
Aw, thanks for having me, John.
Really looking forward to diving into some of the work that Toronto Waterfront is doing. I want to start with kind of the big broad question of, when did you first notice that this disparity existed between male and female participation, particularly in marathoning, half marathoning, those longer road race events?
Yeah, historically, it's been there for a very long time. For our events, we were seeing somewhere around a 32% female to 68% male ratio in the marathon specifically, whereas our half marathon is almost equal, if not sometimes a bit more female skewed than men. And our 5K and 10K distances tend to have more women than men in them. But that marathon distance was the one that had the much larger disparity there between the two. And what we really noticed, that the change being from that 32 to 68 was when we came back from the pandemic and it had dropped down to 28% women. And so we took note of that and really wanted to see what we could do with the support of the community and our partners to bring that number back up and see if we can shorten that gap.
Wow. So the trend itself isn't something new. It's been around really as long as road racing has been around formally, but a drop off after the pandemic. What do you think contributed to that drop off? I mean, 4% is a pretty big drop. What do you think was at the heart of that?
I've certainly read some different things floating around and stuff post-pandemic. And I know London Marathon did a bit of a study and some research on it. And, you know, the pandemic was a challenging time with a lot of schools closed down and, women typically taking on more of the lion's share of that childcare and now education and trying to work at the same time. And so I think just the pandemic really put a huge time constraint on having this extra amount of space to train for a marathon. It really got taken over by all of the various commitments that changed because the world shut down. So I think that was largely a contributor to it.
Yeah, the caring work that historically and predominantly is the domain of women probably got augmented during that time. That leads into, I think, an interesting question for you personally, because you yourself are a new mother. I believe Archie, your son, is about 7 months old now. Congratulations on that. I'm sure big life changes for you, not only in the past 7 months, but obviously in the pregnancy leading up to his birth. How has your experience now, from the position of being a mother yourself while also being a race director and an athlete training for races yourself, how has that shaped or maybe enhanced your perspective on some of the challenges that are specific to women, particularly those looking to race longer distances like the marathon?
Yeah, it's amazing being a mom and lots of changes that have come with that and having Archie and even the lead up into having Archie. So I think, you know, before I got pregnant, when I got pregnant, I had lots of friends and family kind of saying, oh, you have no idea what it's like to, you know, to have a kid in your life and all this stuff. And I'm like, you're right, I have no clue. And there's really no way of knowing until you're in it. And boy, do I have a much better understanding now that I'm in it, and the joys and the uniqueness of having this little man in my life now. For me personally, with my training, trying to get pregnant was challenging for me. It took almost 2 years. So in that, you know, doing different things, IUI and IVF, the drugs and the hormones in my body and everything took a little bit of a beating. And so my running took a back seat, and really can't even imagine what it would have looked like to train for a marathon during that 2 year period. Knowing that I've only done one marathon in my life, it was actually in the pandemic. But it does take a great amount of commitment, and your body, you know, being in a certain, you know, physical shape and whatnot. I was just really focused on fertility. So so you picture 2 years kind of on the shelf there. I threw in a couple half marathons in 2024, but very leisurely done, and maybe not the best training, if I have to admit, but got those in the beginning of 2024 before I got pregnant with Archie in March. And then I had him in December. So now I'm 7 months postpartum, and our wonderful former race director of our Montreal half marathon gave me a training plan postpartum, and I'm at 20 minutes of continuous running.
Fantastic.
So we're getting there. But it's not, sure.
And not only 20 minutes of continuous running, but Archie has already towed the line himself, so to speak, in I think a couple of road races now. So you've dove back into being part of the road race community with him in front of you, presumably in the stroller. What's that been like to experience road racing events now as a participant yourself and as a mother at the same time?
Yeah. So I kind of set a weird goal of trying to do one race per month of Archie's like first year of his life. So we are at six. We're one behind our 7 month goal.
We'll have to double up at some point.
Exactly. So he's done 6 5Ks with me since he was born. And I have this perspective, a better perspective of maybe some feedback we've gotten over the years on how to just provide an experience that more parents can come and enjoy. So the first race we did was February. That was freezing. Our cause for the polar bear cause. But at the zoo, they have changing stations and breastfeeding areas and all of that, like just feeding an indoor space. So that worked out really well for us. And then with St. Patrick's Day run down at Brickworks, same thing, right? I was able, it was a facility, I could go in there, but it was pouring rain and it was during Archie's nap time. And so I was 3 months postpartum and I hadn't actually run. I was planning on walking that. So I hadn't started running again. and it started bucketing rain just before the start of the race, and Archie just started screaming. And the thought of walking the 5K with him screaming just wasn't appealing. So I just started running. And there's this hilarious picture of me finishing, and he's in a car seat on a stroller. Like, this is not a baby jogger because he's way too small. My diaper bag is like, there's all this storage underneath it that I've been pushing this whole way, and it's ripped open, and you can see that I tried to like get his bottle out and was like, no, that's not going to work. And like, just booked it until he fell asleep.
Wow. A classic example of running faster to be out of the rain quicker. He's learning young. He's going to have so much learned experience by the time he's towing the line for himself. I want to pause for a moment on a couple of things that you mentioned. You mentioned nursing stations and changing stations, two things that are not necessarily common in a lot of road race infrastructure. Has your perspective as a mother helped you to identify a greater need for those in the Canadian Running Series events that you race direct?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we've been really focusing on the marathon, specifically in the half marathon and TCS Toronto Waterfront Marathon. So in 2022, we did start, or 2023, we started providing lactation stations along the route. So where mothers can stop and either feed or pump along the half marathon and marathon route, as well as changing stations at those two locations or at Nathan Phillips Square. So again, if family members or partners or anyone is coming with your children to cheer you on, right, and to be part of it, or to be, you know, in the race with you in a baby jogger, then there is an option in the big downtown square that you can go to in a closed tented area where you can do all of that. So certainly the marathon had those components, but for us now, like you said, going out to all our other races that we do in Toronto and Vancouver and just making sure that we're providing that same care, because it starts at that, like, again, from my experience, it's starting at that 5K distance and getting me more comfortable at that shorter distance postpartum and building back there. So if it's hard for me to bring Archie or to participate with him, that would make it very challenging for me to sign up for those longer distances without building that back up again.
In addition to some of those barriers like lactation stations or lack thereof, have there been other barriers to entry that you've identified or that anecdotally female participants have shared with you that are keeping women from participating? We've talked about the demands of motherhood or of being primary caregivers, both for older generation or for children. What else are keeping women off the starting line in the same numbers as men?
Well, I think you've nailed some of the things, certainly. And, you know, they're seeing that in the data that men and women are the exact same until 29 in marathon participation, and then it drops down. And so there's that, you know, physical piece of being a woman and whether they have children or not, some hormonal stuff going through perimenopause and menopause and training while, you know, there's a lot of things that are coming out now around how to train while menstruating and all of those things. Beyond, I guess, beyond those things, the things that we can control certainly are things like we just talked about, or policies around deferrals for pregnancy or postpartum. So we have a 2-year policy. Again, for me, when I got pregnant, it was a 2-year journey. So had there been a race or a period of time where I really wanted to train for something, it would have helped me out a lot, knowing that should I have gotten pregnant, I'd have the option. I wouldn't have just lost the $200, but I could have deferred it for up to 2 years versus losing
that. Yeah, it gives you the peace of mind to focus on fertility, focus on getting pregnant, and know that you can defer race goals down the road and it'll still be there for you. I think that's something that's not necessarily discussed, and certainly something that me as a man has never had to consider is what if something were to happen and I had to delay a race by a year or 2 years. We've talked a little bit about policies like that, the deferral program, the station set up on course. I also want to spend some time talking about what I will consider the flagship of Toronto Waterfront Marathon's female-focused initiatives, and that's this free 16-week training program that you rolled out last year. It's in partnership with Mile to Marathon. Tell us a little bit more about the first year of that program, how uptake looked, and what it looks like in this, your second year.
Yeah. So our first year, so last year, again, like other things that were coming up, was just that sense of community and having that support and understanding, you know, how do I even get to the start line of a half marathon or a marathon, right? So again, some things that we could help with were free training programs and building out a Facebook group where everyone in that group could really build each other up and support them along their journey. And so last year we had about, it was 499 people that signed up for the program, and we're almost at 2,200 right now. So
wow.
Yeah, quite incredible, over four times the amount of women that have signed up this year for the program. And we've got some feedback from last year of just, we had one program for the half and one for the full, and we've broken it down into a beginner or an intermediate, just to see if we can meet people where they're at and provide a couple different options to help them.
That leads into my next question, which is, who is this program targeting? It sounds like it's not a one-size-fits-all program by any means, or specific to any one particular subset of female participants.
That's it, right? It's not necessarily a first-time person. It's somebody, you know, maybe they're coming back to it again. Maybe their kids are older and they want to return to it. Or, you know, they post-pandemic, you know, a lot of people in the pandemic got into running, right? Gyms closed down, everything. And so their friends all started running. They started running and came back to running after a break. So there's options again for that first timer or a very, you know, seasoned runner that just maybe wants that community support and a little bit of extra help to maybe hit a new goal, speed things up a little bit or whatnot.
You talk about community support. Have there been organizations that have come alongside TCS Toronto Waterfront to help support this initiative, both locally in Toronto or maybe nationally as well?
Yeah, well, Mile to Marathon, right? Huge. They've come on board this year to help with the training. And when you go into that Facebook page, all I see are the different female coaches. This is female-led for women, by women, to get them to the start line and to that finish line. ASICS has been incredible. They were doing research as we started to notice this trend on women's participation in sports specifically dropping, and how do we get girls to carry on, right? To continue in sport, and women, because it is so great for our mental health, right? The benefits are extraordinary. And so to see that drop does, you know, affect women's mental health as well as physical health. So ASICS has been an incredible partner. And we have just different run crews that have shown up in a big way. So Cardia, you know, Heather Gardner was the first female-led run crew to start here in Toronto. And so she was very excited. We had this pizza party for all the run crews in Toronto back in 2023 when we noticed that drop in 2022 in the numbers. And we set out some goals, and one of those goals being to increase that participation in women's marathoning. And Heather came up to me after, and I had Allie come up to me from Badass Lady Gang, and Amanda from Chicks Run the Six, and just, you know, really wanting to get involved and see what they could do to really support women and get them going. Yeah.
And what does that look like? What has that support looked like from these run crews?
So again, reaching out and wanting to see where they could support. So we have our pacers up till 4:30, and then we have a group of volunteers that we call the Caboose Crew now. Back a couple years ago, we had a group called Bonnie's Dream Team. And so that came from Bonnie Fowler, who did our race many moons ago, and she was part of the Markham Running Room group. Okay. And so she was, she finished after our time limit of 6 hours, and she had this entire group of 40 people from the running room, the Markham location, bringing her in and supporting her. And she was like, oh, that felt so incredible. And I needed that, right? Like, I'm out there for longer than everyone else, and yeah, having that crew come in. So she really wanted to come out and volunteer with some of her friends and community members to see if she could help everyone over 5 hours and above. Wow. In the marathon. So that evolved into this Caboose Crew, as we're calling them, that started last year. And so we reach out to all the run crews and see who wants to help with it. And so we've had this great response, and it's in the final 10 kilometers, right? You're hitting that 32K mark, and it's hard, and it's in the east end of the city for us in Toronto, where the crowd support gets a little bit quieter. It's not as big as that West End half marathon side. So this crew's there just bringing everyone in for that final 10K.
Wow.
That might be finishing over 5 hours or after our time limit of 6 hours.
In the race environment, that kind of critical mass of bodies is so important to make people feel like they can get through that final 10K. Anybody that's run a marathon will know that that is half of the race, really. It gets so difficult at that point. How important do you think it's been to have this group of women supporting one another outside of the race weekend, getting together and having that same level of group community support for training runs? We've heard much about this in the news over the last couple of years, where women are participating less in running recreationally sometimes because of just a feeling of lack of safety when they're out running. Has this been at all a catalyst for getting women together in person to train together? And is that maybe helping to encourage them to stick with the training plan long term?
Yeah, I think, again, safety is a huge barrier, right? And training for a marathon, early mornings, late nights, a long amount of time out there. I fully appreciate that barrier and that concern for women. I think there are some groups that are doing amazing things, like Chicks Run the Six here in Toronto, offer self-defense courses and whatnot through their run crew to try to help women. So there's certainly groups out there doing that work. And then that community itself, you know, our community right now is online, right? We've got that virtual through that Facebook group, helping each other out. But you can just see, you know, in a marathon, you get to these lulls, especially in the summer with the hot weather and the long runs, like getting to the marathon. And I saw Coach Becky from Mile to Marathon in there being like, this is the hard stuff. Like, you guys are doing this. And like, it makes sense that you're feeling this way and you got to slow down and your kilometer should look like this now because it's 30 degrees outside and you're not training the same way if it were 10 degrees outside.
Yeah, there's that solidarity, I imagine, where even if they're not seeing each other in person, just knowing that there's other women going through the same experience, putting in the same work, all with that goal of towing the line on October 19th together. I imagine that must be a huge motivator for so many, particularly those who were on the fence about whether they could motivate themselves to train for something as all-encompassing as a marathon build. Have there been any stories that have really touched you from either this past year or the current year's initiatives that Toronto Waterfront is doing that are maybe a great example of the positive work that you've been able to accomplish in encouraging women to participate in higher numbers?
Yeah, I think, you know, last year we did a shakeout with Cardia, and ASICS and everyone on the Saturday before the race. We had our 5K on Saturday last year. I was at the start area in our command center at the top of a, you know, unidentified building that I'm not allowed to disclose.
Naturally.
But I had called Ryan from our CRS team, doing some great work, and he had gone to the shakeout run and big community guy and said how powerful it was after their run was over and they're at the expo and they were just passing around the microphone to each other and talking about how hard the training was and how important, you know, having the support of everyone in that group to get them to the October start line. So it wasn't necessarily one story. It just seemed to be this accumulation of feelings of support from each other and us, I guess, creating that space for them to feel safe and supported and go there.
Fast forward to this year, you said just under 500 participants last year. You've quadrupled that number this year. You're over 2,000 now.
Yeah.
Have there been any trends that you've picked up on of people coming back to the program, repeat marathon participants who maybe got their introduction last year that you're now seeing come back in 2025?
Yeah, I dove into the data a little bit just to see how many people did come back. And it is about 10%. So again, with that idea of like a mix of like beginners or intermediate, or, you know, to see that 10% of people from last year are back at it again this year is huge. Like, that's really exciting to see the value outside of it just being a one-time thing for people.
Absolutely. And I imagine that other 90%, many of them probably learning about it via word of mouth of those initial 499 participants last year. So something that can hopefully continue to grow in future years. On the topic of growth, what can other races be doing to continue some of the great work that Toronto Waterfront has pioneered? How can this be spread to other races, other events? What can other race directors learn from what you and your team have been figuring out over these last couple of years?
I think, especially in Canada, our community of race directors are really close. We are a mostly female-led group of races. So, you know, Sherry over at Blue Nose and Rachel Monday over at Manitoba and Kirsten Fleming over at Calgary and Anna Lewis over at around the Bay. And so we're also, I think a lot of the groups are doing great work and we're chatting with each other all the time and trying to figure out how we can be better, right? And to really bring things up in the marathoning world here in Canada. So many women leaders, you know, in our industry now, and that certainly was not the case, you know, 10 years ago. And I think you are seeing changes because of that, you know, women at the forefront in those leadership roles, looking at things in a different way and trying to put more women at the start line and, you know, whether it be through social or newsletters or something, like putting that, those stories and whatnot at the forefront so others see themselves there and want to participate, because it, you know, again, it feels like a safer space to go into versus maybe, again, historically where it's been super speedy, fast elite men in a lot of the photos and the stories that we would cover, right? I think there's a lot more going on at the community level these days from Canadian running and other groups showcasing
creating
those.
That narrative that allows women to see themselves not only training for a marathon, but actually being out there participating, part of the masses, and maybe one day even leading the charge in terms of total participation numbers. From your perspective, what would a truly equitable marathon field look like? What's the dream scenario with all of these initiatives when we look ahead into the future?
Well, I would love for it to be, you know, a 50-50 space with men and women at the start line for the marathon and at the finish line. I do see marathon participation is booming, right? So, you know, for us, it was always like we hustled so hard. Like I remember, again, I've been at this for many, many decades, and we used to be at the finish line of every single race with pamphlets and flyers just to get, you know, 2,000 marathoners or 3,000 marathoners. And we never thought we could go over 6,000. And last year we sold out in August at 8,000. And this year it was June at almost 10,000. So there's this huge built up demand for marathoning. And I look to the majors who have a ridiculously large, you know, 200,000 ballots, and they can only let 40,000 in, and they have this opportunity to allow 50-50 split in, right? Regardless of how many people actually submit ballots. And so I think the more races and the demand is there where you can actually see that 50-50 split and see all those women towing the line, I think that's really going to change things for folks wanting to maybe take on that challenge and seeing how it could work into their lives, depending on what their life is like at the moment.
A bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy where the more women can see other women participating, the more they're going to be inclined to participate themselves. And then the cycle just continues to grow, a real virtuous cycle.
Maybe it flips and we're like, wow, there's only 32% men in this marathon and 68%, right?
10 years from now, I might be having to have you on to see how we can address the dearth of male participants in major road races. Yep. And I think that would be a nice problem to have after decades of having to push the other way.
Well, all these women are winning ultras, right? Like all the women are winning ultras. They are strong and fierce and fully capable. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely proving that they belong 100% on that starting line. And as you rightly mentioned, on that finish line as well. For those who want to get involved, who want to support this initiative, maybe specifically with the Toronto Waterfront Marathon, what can they be doing this year or looking ahead to future years, whether they be participants or simply people that want to help those participating get the most out of this experience?
Yeah, I think sign up for the program. It's free, like you mentioned. So you can go to torontowaterfrontmarathon.com. You'll see under our event details, the women's training program. You can sign up for it, join the Facebook group, get in there. Like, again, like watching all the women jumping in and supporting each other is huge. If there's anything else you want to get involved with, again, I mentioned a bunch of people have reached out to us through the community and want to volunteer and be part of the Pacer program or the Caboose crew or whatnot, or even feedback. Again, the only way we get better and grow and learn is from hearing from everyone on opportunities that we can be doing better. So shoot us an email, info@CanadaRunningSeries.com, or send us a DM on our social.
We will put all of that information in the show notes at the end of this episode. And if you have questions or comments and you want to learn about how you can get involved or support the great work that Charlotte and her team at Canadian Running Series are doing around Toronto Waterfront Marathon, we will give you all the details to do that. Charlotte, thank you so much for sharing your perspective as a race director, as a new mother, as a marathoner yourself. We wish you the best of luck with this sold out 2025 edition of the Toronto Waterfront Marathon, and a particularly hearty good luck to all of those female participants, and especially those competing who have gone through this whole 16-week marathon training program that you've rolled out. Thanks so much for taking some time to be with us today, and we will look forward to seeing you on the starting line this October 19th.
So excited to see everyone at the start and the finish line.
And the finish line. Important that we remind them of that. We will see you at both. Another huge thank you to Charlotte for joining us this week to talk about all the amazing work her and her team at the Toronto Waterfront Marathon are doing to make this year's event as equitable for all participants as possible. All the links to Toronto Waterfront's women's training program and their local run club partners can be found in the show notes of this week's episode. Be sure to follow this year's marathon action on social media at TOWaterfront42K. And the Canada Run Series at RunCRS. You can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and X at Shakeout Podcast. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss any of the exciting episodes coming your way in the weeks ahead. I'm your host, John Gay, saying thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you again soon for your next Shakeout.